Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Lord's Day. We thank you for your love and care. We thank you for the season of Thanksgiving, for the reminder that as your children, we should be thankful every day of the year for all of your many wonderful blessings to us. We pray now that you would meet with us. We pray that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and care, that we might leave this place prepared to share the good news of the Advent season. We ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Today we're honored to have a guest conductor with us, a real one this Sunday. And we certainly appreciate Terry saying that she would be more than happy to fill in and to remind you all of what a real conductor looks like. So at this time, we will turn the service over to Terry. Thank you so much.
Please stand with us as we sing Redeeming Love. The words will be on the screen.
Little child.
I invite you to join with us now in our pre-Advent litany. Holy and all-knowing God, we marvel at your choice of a group of shepherds to be the first to receive the news of your son's birth.
We wonder why you choose them.
Would not a group of scribes, earnest students of your promises, have been a more plausible choice?
Would not a group of children have been more suitable for being his first visitors and worshipers?
Did you choose shepherds because they lived close to nature?
They did indeed, living a life of hardship and wonder. They were receptive to the news that your son was being born, not a prince, but into a humble peasant family.
Yes, his humble birth spoke to folk like the shepherds, who knew that they were powerless, that they needed help.
It requires humility to feel the need for a Savior. The good news is for men and women who toil and suffer, hunger and thirst and hope.
And Lord, perhaps you chose these shepherds because they had time to think, to feel, to be aware of mystery.
We who live by the clock are missing something. We try to do too much. We know our time on earth is short, but we waste a lot of our time on trivia while we fail to hear your angels sing.
Mighty God, we think we understand why you chose those shepherds as the first ones to visit and worship the Holy Child. We pray that we may never think of ourselves more highly than we deserve, knowing that apart from your grace, we deserve nothing.
And we pray for discernment on our use of your gift of time, that we may seek and find moments beyond the noise and bustle of life, just to be quiet with Jesus, who needed and cherished your silent times with you. Amen.
You may be seated. As we prepare to go to prayer this morning, are there joys and concerns that you'd like to share with the family of God?
The Jones family found out Wednesday with Thanksgiving that Ray, the son, off of TiVo and everything has done it. He has stage 4 cancer and all his lymph nodes and everything.
Oh my. Thank you. And we do need to pray for all of those who are traveling today. There are a lot of them already, I've discovered. On 40, I saw one accident already today. A semi plowed into the back of an SUV and popped out all the back windows. Real heavy traffic, heavy police presence. Do be praying. Our daughter Rebecca is on her way back to Warner Robins Air Force Base. One of her two sons are headed up to Ohio, and then when they get there, one of them will catch a plane to Las Vegas, Nevada, where he's an Air Force pilot. So they'll be traveling along with a few million other people, so do be praying for them. Other joys and concerns? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise that you so loved the world that you gave. remind us that that is what this season is all about. Not so much about receiving as giving. Remind us, Lord, that there are so many out there today for whom this is a very difficult time of the year. Many of them are not able to give much of anything. Many of them will not be receiving much of anything. We pray, Lord, that you'd be with each one, especially the younger ones and the older ones, Lord. Oh, we thank you that so many of us can look back on so many wonderful Christmases. Remind us, Lord, that if Christmas isn't quite what it used to be for us, maybe we need to start looking at others, what we can give, how we can brighten their Christmas. Because, Lord, we've discovered, as your word says, that it is indeed more blessed to give than to receive. Help us, Lord, that we might find ways to brighten people's days, minutes, their lives, ways to make this a very special time of the year for them also. Thank you, Lord, for loving us that much. Help us now that we might share that loving grace with others. We pray today, Lord, that you'd be with our troops. Oh, what a difficult time to be away from family and friends and loved ones. We pray that you would comfort their hearts. We pray that wherever they might be, they might feel the joy of the season. Be with their families, Lord. Comfort and strengthen them. Be with those who during this season of the year are doing without. Those who have been ravaged by the forces of nature. Many of them are now without homes. If they do have a home, they may not have electricity. They may not have a job now. We pray that you would not only bless them, but we pray that you would help us, that we might be a part of this recovery effort. We pray, Lord, for our brothers and sisters in Egypt. Over 300 killed. Some 24 children in that number. Killed in the name of religion. Oh God, forgive us. Forgive us for the things we do in the name of religion. And for the things that we don't do that we should be doing in the name of Jesus Christ. Be with our leaders today, guide and direct them. Use us to your honor and glory. May our lives reflect the joy that came to the world. For we ask it in the precious name of that babe of the Bethlehem manger who became the Christ of Calvary's cross for us, Jesus Christ, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Ushers, would you come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us. We pray now that you'd bless these our gifts to you for the building of your kingdom. Bless the giver, Bless the one who's unable to give, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Oh, come, let us adore him. You may be seated. Reading from Isaiah chapter 9. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be on his shoulders, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Terry, and thank you, choir. Don't know if you've noticed or not, a little bit different sermon title today, but of course that's not necessarily anything new either. 'Tis the reason for the season according to Santa. One of my favorite Christmas pieces, whether it be a ceramic or whether it be a poster or whether it's a music box like Catherine has at home that I didn't dare bring in this morning for illustration. But it's a image of Santa Claus kneeling at the manger. That's where the priority ought to be. Let's get into it this morning with a little bit of a recap of some of the jobs that your pastor has done down through the years. Hopefully it'll all come together before we leave here this morning, but I started out like many young people do, mowing lawns, shoveling snow. This was up in Massachusetts, so there's a little more money to be made there. Raking leaves. I worked, when I was in high school, I worked in a grocery store as a bag boy and a stock clerk. I worked in the dining hall in college, scrubbing pots and pans. I worked in a drugstore at the food counter. Yeah, the job was called a soda jerk. That's what I did. I worked for a lumber company. I've worked for the United Auto Workers, I've worked for the United Steel Workers, I've worked for the Teamsters, worked in a steel mill, worked on a shipping dock, worked at an ammunition plant. While I was in college for three and a half years, I operated a forklift, worked in a pharmaceutical warehouse, worked in a factory operating a metal extruder. I was a spot welder on an assembly line for Ford Motor Company. Worked at a printing company that made the gravy packets, you know, with the powder in them. You rip open the foil packet. They did the printing on those. They printed the backing for the Polaroid film, a number of other things. I worked at a mailroom for a magazine publisher. I did door-to-door sales, cookware, encyclopedias. Did route sales for a juice company, for Cook Coffee Company. Worked at Zare Discount Store. Office work, I was a file clerk, filing patient records at the Baptist Hospital in Nashville. I did filing at the law library at Emory University in Atlanta when I was in seminary. I did data processing back in the 60s. I operated a check sorter and reader at First American Bank in Nashville. I was a comptometer operator for Seal Test Ice Cream Company, school bus driver, tour bus and stretch limo driver, semi driver, administrative jobs. I worked as a teacher. I taught seventh grade geography in Florida. I was a chief crew leader for a newspaper. I was a junior high camp director for 5 years. I was a youth director. I've been associate pastor. I've been pastor, and I've been senior pastor. There's one more job that I had that we'll talk about in just a moment. First of all, seeing as how we brought Santa Claus into this, let me give you some background information about the jolly man, okay? He was not always a jolly old fellow. He did not always have long white whiskers, and he didn't always wear a big red suit. Long before he lived at the North Pole and long before his yearly Christmas visits, he brought joy to all the children of, and before he brought joy to all the children of the world, Santa Claus was a child himself. He was once just an ordinary baby named Nicholas. This baby boy was just like any other baby boy, and the parents had great dreams for their son. They named him Nicholas, which means hero of the people. Even at a young age, Nicholas was a kind and generous boy. He often helped the people of his village. He shared his meals with those who had nothing to eat. He was always the first to lend a helping hand, and he brought joy to young and old alike. There was no better friend that you could have than young Nicholas. At a very young age, Nicholas joined the church. It was his duty to help people. He gave special attention to the children of his village, and they were very fond of Nicholas for his playful and joyful manner. He became well known throughout the entire land as a kind and wise young man. He was soon named bishop of the church. Because Nicholas was still so young, the people called him the boy bishop. He wore a long red robe and a red hat, and he traveled on horseback. At every village, happy children would spot his bright robe from a distance and gather in the road to greet him. In one village, Bishop Nicholas learned the sorrowful tale of a poor man and his three young daughters. It seemed that the man could no longer afford to keep his daughters, and he feared he would have to send them away. Nicholas knew that he had to do something to help out this family. That night, while the whole village slept, Nicholas crept up to the hut where the three sisters lived. He climbed up on the rooftop, and he dropped three bags of gold, one by one, down the chimney. Earlier that day, the three sisters had hung their newly washed stockings by the fireplace to dry. Each small bag of gold that Nicholas dropped fell into one of the stockings below. The next morning, the girls were overjoyed to find gold coins in their stockings. "Father," they called, running to wake him, "we have received a magical gift." As the story of these three sisters spread from village to village, other people began to hang their stockings by the fire, hoping to find a secret gift when they awoke the next morning. Though this was Bishop Nicholas's most famous gift, it was not his first good deed, and it certainly would not be his last. Bishop Nicholas enjoyed surprising people. He began to deliver his secret gifts of hope and joy only at night while his friends were asleep. For all of his good deeds, Bishop Nicholas was named a saint. He's honored as a saint who looks after all children. Each year, many people around the world celebrate the saint's good deeds on December the 6th. I don't know if that's because that's my and Catherine's anniversary or not, but they do. They hang their stockings by the fire and awake to find them filled with candy, fruit, nuts, or toys. People also celebrate St. Nicholas on Christmas Day. St. Nicholas has many names around the world. In some places, he's called St. Nicholas or Sinterklaas. In the past, when children from other countries tried to pronounce those names, Sinterklaas came out sounding more like Santa Claus. Yes. A true hero of the people, St. Nicholas still delivers his magical gifts each year at Christmas time. Santa Claus delivers gifts of hope and joy, bringing the joy of giving to all the children of the world. Now, I mentioned to you that there was one more job that I had, and this is where we get into the sermon, okay? When I was pastoring in Appleton, Wisconsin, 200 miles north of Chicago, where they know what winter is, there was an ad in the paper one day for a position that was open, and I went and talked to the church board and presented the idea to them, and it was fine with them, and so I went ahead and applied and interviewed for the job, and I got it. A job as Santa Claus at a big department store there in town. The town had about 60,000 people, and there were six other communities around it, so there was a real large population base, and this department store up on the fourth floor, they had the magical forest with all the mechanical elves there doing what mechanical elves do. And you'd go through that little forest area, and then you'd come out into the place where Santa Claus was. As I was there, I learned a lot more about what Christmas is all about. Through that experience as, no children here, as one of Santa Claus's helpers, okay? But it was interesting because, let me give you three specific stories here. First of all, in my church, there was a young couple whom I had married the summer before, Brian and Kathy. Kathy had a younger sister, Patty. Patty was about 8 or 9 years old. Her mother worked at that department store, and the mother told me one day, she said, tomorrow evening, Patty's going to come to see Santa Claus, but she's not really sure if she still believes in him or not. Some of the kids at school are teasing her because she thinks she does, and so sometimes she thinks maybe she doesn't. So the next evening, I was working that evening, and I'd just taken my supper break. The sign was up saying Santa Claus was out feeding his reindeer. So I got off the elevator at the fourth floor, and here was a line of people waiting for the chain to be taken down and the forest to be opened and Santa Claus to be back. So I got off the elevator with my suit on. They had a really nice Santa suit there. And there was Patty. I got off ho-ho-hoing, and then I said, oh, there's my little friend Patty, too. Hi, Patty, how you doing? Her mouth dropped open, her eyes got real big. So I went around the back door and went in and got in position, and they let all the people in. And when Patty came, she came up and jumped up on my lap, and I got to talking to her about her dog, and I called the dog and the cat by names. I asked her about her sister and what she thought of her sister getting married and all these things. And half the time she couldn't even speak. She just sat there with her mouth wide open. Her mother told me later, when they got home that evening, Patty hardly waited for the car to stop. She jumped out. She ran into the house, just about took the storm door off the hinges. All the way in, she was screaming to her father, said, Daddy, he knew me, he knew me, he knew me. Now, the gospel, the Christmas story according to Santa. In John, the 10th chapter, Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. Today we've got the assurance that Jesus knows each one of us. He knows you better than you know yourself. You know, sometimes in the morning when we get up and we're getting ready and we look in the mirror, we're kind of surprised or shocked or bewildered or frustrated or whatever. Doesn't surprise Jesus at all. He knows us. He loves us. Every wart, every sag, everything doesn't change the fact that he loves us. He understands when we're frustrated. He understands when we're angry. He understands when things aren't going well. So often we're afraid that if we don't think the right things all the time, that God isn't going to love us anymore, but He does. He knows us. Just as surely as Patty's whole idea of Christmas was transformed that night, our lives can be too, day by day. We're not hiding anything from God. He knows us, and He loves us unconditionally. Second story. A little boy that was in first grade, his name was Johnny. I had a friend up there in Wisconsin who owned a bus company. And from time to time, he'd get in a bind and he'd call me and he'd say, "Can you help me out with a route today? I've got three or four drivers that are out sick and I don't have anybody to cover. And could you help me out?" And I usually was free and I said, "Yeah, sure I can. I'll be glad to." Well, a lot of times I'd pick up at a Catholic school. And one of the little students was Johnny, first grader. Lived out on 4th Avenue on the west side of town. And I'd pull up in front of his house and his dog would come running out and he'd call his dog by name. I think it was Blackie. And then one day he told me, he says, "You know," he says, "next week we're going to be moving out to Black Creek." I said, "Really? So you're not going to be on the bus anymore?" He said, "No, I won't be on this bus anymore." Okay. Well, one morning I was sitting there and people were coming through to see Santa Claus and I said, "There's Johnny. Hey, Johnny, how you doing?" This time it was the parents whose jaws dropped open. And I said, when Johnny came up, I said, "Johnny, are you all ready for Santa Claus to come down on 4th Avenue?" He says, "I don't live there anymore." I said, "That's right, you moved out to Black Creek, didn't you?" And the parents were looking at each other, trying to figure out what was going on here. And I asked him about his dog and about his sister and all of that. Well, the next morning when I went in to do my shift, there was a note on my locker from personnel, human resources. "Please come down ASAP." So I went down, and here was the director of personnel, and he said, "This morning when I came in, my phone was ringing." He said, "I answered the phone, and there were some parents on the other end of the line that said they had been up all night long trying to figure out how Santa Claus knew everything about their family." He said, "I didn't tell them anything," said, "Here's their phone number if you want to call them." Now, this was back in the mid-70s, and I haven't called them yet. But what we need to realize here is that God knows exactly where we are. Let me read to you from Psalm 139. Not all the verses, but selected ones. "O Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. You know when I sit down or stand up. You know my thoughts and even when I'm far away. You see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. You know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand of blessing on my head. Such knowledge is too wonderful to me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go up to heaven, you're there. If I go down to the grave, you're there. If I ride on the wings of the morning, if I dwell by the farthest oceans, even there your hand will guide me and your strength will support me. I could ask the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as bright as the day. The darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. Thank you for making me so wonderfully complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, how well I know it. You watched me as I was being formed in utter seclusion, as I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. How precious are your thoughts about me, O God? They cannot be numbered. I can't even count them. They outnumber the grains of sand. And when I wake up, you're still with me. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you, and lead me along the path of everlasting life. God knows exactly where you are. Aren't you glad? One more. His name was Stevie. He was 10. I got a call one afternoon from the personnel director, and he said the next morning, before the store opened, they had a group of physically and or mentally challenged children and adults that wanted to come through. They were going to open up early, especially for them. I agreed to do it, and the time came, and I was in my place, and they came in. There were adults as big or bigger than I was that came and sat on my lap, and they were just so thrilled. Some of them couldn't even talk, or at least I couldn't understand them, but they were just so glad to be there, and I just chatted with them. Everybody had gone through, except for Stevie. Two or three of the adult chaperones were back there in the back corner with him. They kept saying, "Come on, Stevie, go up and see Santa. Come on, Stevie." He wouldn't even look at me. He just stood there looking at the floor. I found out later that a couple of years earlier, I don't know what the details were, but Stevie had been traumatized. He hadn't spoke a word in 2 years. They would take field trips out to a petting zoo. He wouldn't even get out of the car. They would have parties and games and activities at their place. He would just sit there. So finally, after they coaxed him for a while and he didn't budge, I had some sleigh bells up there, about a 3 or 4 foot strip. Big bells, and you know how nice a sound they make. I took those sleigh bells and I flipped them across the floor, and boy, they tumbled over and over and over, made a terrible racket, and stopped right at Stevie's feet. I said, "Stevie, I've got to go out and feed Rudolph in a little bit, and I need to put his bells on. Could you bring the bells to me so I can put them on Rudolph?" He looked at them, and finally he looked up at me. He looked at them, looked up at me. He reached down and grabbed the bells, came running across the floor, and jumped up on my lap, almost knocked the wind out of me. And he just started chattering. The adults got out their cameras and they were snapping pictures and they were talking, and one of them ran out to get some of the other adult counselors and got them in there. They told me later, they said, "This is the best Christmas present that Stevie's parents could ever get." I didn't do anything special. I didn't have any agenda or any plan. I was flying by the seat of my pants. But you know, the truth is that we need to realize God knows our problems and our needs. Sometimes our skies are cloudy and dreary. Sometimes our hearts are burdened with care. But we may know whatever may befall us, Jesus is always there. Or as the psalmist said, even when I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Jesus knows exactly what we need, and he's there to provide it for us. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son. He gave his Son that the Son might know us deeply, personally. He sent his Son that the Son, the Holy Spirit, God the Father, might know exactly where you and I are every moment of our lives, in joy and sorrow and frustration and anxiety. He knows. The scripture tells us that Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are. He knows our problems. He knows those times when we wake up in the middle of the night and the tears are flowing. He knows those times when there's strife in relationships, when there's tension, when life is just so difficult. Now I realize a lot of times we get a little bit skeptical about some of the things that go on at Christmas. But remember the real reason for the season. And do remember, he knows you. He knows right where you are, not only geographically, but in your mind and in your heart. And he understands. Heavenly Father, may we not get so tripped up in other things about Christmas that we miss the real reason. Remind us, Lord, that you're there. Remind us that you loved us so much that you came to earth not to be born in the best of hospitals or the most beautiful palaces, but to be born in the manger. You understand us. In this Christmas season, may we draw closer to you and closer to our brothers and sisters in Jesus' name. Amen.
Please stand with us as we sing His Name is Wonderful.
Wonderful.
Now may you leave this place filled with the spirit of Christmas, with a capital S. May you allow God's Spirit to live and reign through you, that your life might reflect the love that came down that very first Christmas to you and me. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.